Shalom Havarim, which means peace to our friends. Welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my effervescent wife and best friend, Sheila Crawford.
Hello. Shalom, saints of God, and Yom HaShoah, which means Holocaust Remembrance Day, which was yesterday. And thanks for tuning in as we bow our hearts in prayer.
Abba, Father, you are the Most High God, our El Shaddai, and we praise and exalt your holy name as we lift up to you these recent petitions and the prayers of those listening right now, especially those suffering from severe diseases. We will continue to lift up to you our unsaved loved ones and also the many thousands of Holocaust survivors still alive and living in Israel to accept your Son as their Messiah. We pray for those who govern over us that only your will comes to fruition. Bless the teaching tonight and bless your bride as we continue to pursue a deeper walk in these turbulent, chaotic days. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen to that. Well, there's lots going on this week. We have major military terror and nuke drills happening in Manhattan, New York, and Washington.
Called Operation Gotham Shield.
Yeah. And President Trump is conducting a full Senate classified meeting in a highly secured location at the White House instead of the Capitol building.
Yeah, he wants no leaks.
I am sure North Korea will be the major topic amongst many other things, like getting some of the Democrats to work with him on so many pressing issues, especially since the House of Congress is pretty divided.
Yeah, I hope he gets rid of that rhino, Paul Ryan.
Yeah, me too. I've been reading where the White House, though, is also divided. Let me say that my heart really goes out to our president, who is being pulled in so many different directions with such a dysfunctional House of Representatives. And that really came to light when Jesuit-trained Paul Ryan tried to pass his own agenda through that awful health care bill.
Yeah, thank goodness for the Freedom Caucus who stopped that.
Exactly. And I must say, the president has had some good accomplishments in only 100 days, like so many deregulations, especially for the coal miners. And now our veterans can get health care at other facilities when not seen in a timely manner at the veteran hospitals.
The Dakota Pipeline also is going forward.
And the illegal border crossings are down.
Right.
And we have to, unfortunately, wait for a while, though, for the wall in order to keep the government from shutting down this weekend. It's just too costly right now. Of course, unless Trump can get at least some help from Mexico. And he's also done some new sanctions on Iran as well.
And that bomb in Afghanistan got rid of about 100 terrorists.
Yes, but unfortunately, the Taliban over last weekend retaliated, killing 150 Afghan soldiers that we are trying to help. And our right now, I believe, General Mattis is there to assess the situation.
You know, we have about 9,000 American soldiers on the ground over there.
Wow. Wow. But we'll, I'm sure we'll hear much more of all this at our president's accomplishments on Thursday at his rally in Pennsylvania. But we need to inform our listeners what isn't on mainstream news, and they might not know, because besides the divided House in Congress, there is also a divided White House. I've been doing some research, as I love to do.
Aha, that's really a surprise, honey.
Cute. Anyhow, it appears there is a serious rift going on between President Trump's very liberal son-in-law, Jared Kushner, and the conservative Steve Bannon, who most Christians love because he really is anti-establishment. He was once CEO of the Breitbart conservative truth-telling news source, which is still functioning, even though the president, Andrew Breitbart, was mysteriously killed. And Bannon is a long-time Republican nationalist, which Jared is not. And when Jared really needs to convince President Trump, all he has to do is, do you know?
He sends in Ivanka because she really has her father's ear.
Oh, yeah, big time. And from what I understand, it was them that convinced candidate Trump at the time to openly support the LGBT community, as became quite clear when he held up their rainbow flag at one of his rallies. Now, as much as we prefer this program, Shofar Ministries, not to be too political, this time there are a few things our listeners should know about the Kushners.
Yeah, you know, they were lifelong Democrats until Donald announced he would run for president.
Exactly. And Donald Trump, too, was a Democrat most of his life. And along with the very rich Kushner family, supported the Clintons with lots of money.
In fact, Ivanka and Chelsea Clinton are still very good friends.
That's right. You know, she admitted that in a recent TV interview. Anyhow, there's bickering going on between Steve Bannon and Jared on trade, healthcare, immigration, taxes, terrorism, well, you name it.
Well, you know why? Because one is left and one is right.
Very correct. One senior aide said that Bannon was terribly frustrated with Kushner continuing to bring in Obamacare's main contributor, Zeke Emanuel, remember him, to discuss health care options, and has had at least three White House meetings.
Yeah, at least one of those was with President Trump.
I think so. Mm-hmm. And way back in 2009, us conservatives called Emanuel Dr. Death for advocating for the end-of-life consultations. You remember that?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I don't know if you know it, but he's also the brother of Obama's former chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel.
Yes, I do remember that. I mean, this is just crazy. And Bannon thinks Jared is actually worse than a liberal Democrat. And he is a major obstacle to achieving the vision he once previously shared with President Trump, who initially favored similar nationalistic beliefs, where Mr. Kushner, in my opinion, is a New World Order advocate. Sadly, Bannon was removed from his post on the National Security Council. Now, he still has security clearance and talks to President often, but unfortunately, he didn't score a lot of points over the Muslim ban initiative that Bannon spearheaded and actually now remains in the courts.
And it also didn't help that in the beginning, people were jestingly calling Bannon Mr. President.
Yeah, they were kind of kidding, but yeah, that's what they were doing. So Jared and Bannon are essentially working against one another as they both attempt to keep the president's ear and his affections. But remember, Jared is a family member now and has been given an enormous amount of power. And let's face it, I don't think he'd ever be fired.
And I read that Jared regularly text messages Joe Scarborough from MSNBC.
Oh, we read the same article. Yeah, many of the anti-Bannon stories that you hear on Morning Joe, if you listen to that at all, are being dictated by Kushner. He is disserving the president. And the right-wing radio host, Mark Levin, who I really like, warned on Twitter that Jared Kushner, Gary Cohn, Dina Powell are three big government liberals who are tightening their hold on the White House. This is serious. There is a demonic globalist agenda brewing to take over the White House, and war is their plan to bring in the New World Order. Remember, just like World War I brought in the League of Nations, and then World War II brought in the UN? Well, they believe World War III will bring in the One World Order.
Yeah, and their motto is order out of chaos.
It is. One more thing, Jared Kushner has been raised in a family where corruption rules.
Didn't his billionaire father serve 2 years in jail for fraud, I think it was?
I believe so. And, oh, guess who prosecuted him back in 2005 and, in fact, was trying to get him a bigger sentence of at least 3 years?
Yeah, good old Chris Christie.
Uh-huh. So you can see why he fell to the wayside quickly in the Trump administration. But here's another kicker. The Jewish Jared Kushner owns a building that is named 666, located on Fifth Avenue. There was these big numbers right on the top of the building, 666, and I don't think that was the address. It was the name of the building. Now, I think since then they've covered it up, but you can Google that. It was there. I've got pictures. But anyway, it's in this building where the RFID chips are developed.
Wow. Oh, that possible mark of the beast.
Yes, Revelation 13. But no, I don't think he's the Antichrist, because the Antichrist will come from Rome, according to Daniel 9:26. And there is still another piece of information you should know. And this is big, too.
Yes, really big.
I know, because I've already shared it with you. Mm-hmm. He's so very tight with the New World Order Jewish billionaire George Soros, who has partnered with him in some very large business ventures. And Jared has failed to provide all the necessary information on his business contacts for his security clearance. And that has actually led to congressional calls for his security clearance to be suspended.
That'll never happen.
For sure. Remember Revelation 2, where it says there are those who claim to be Jews but are not? Oh, yes. Maybe genetically, but not in the right spirit. We know, praise God, that those with the right spirit will get saved during the first half of the tribulation. Actually, during the war of Gog from Magog, Ezekiel 38:23 and 39:22 confirms that.
Amen to that. Okay. So, do you have a question or a comment? There are three ways to connect with us. You can email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office, and please be sure, leave a very detailed message to 440-834-9006 or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. And prayerfully consider tucking in a gift of love, which can also be made on our webpage, shofarministries.net, which will automatically add your name to our mailing list for news updates and teaching letters. Okay, you want to give a very brief synopsis of what's going on in North Korea, if that's possible?
You mean since we could be going to war?
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a funny matter, but today marked the 85th anniversary of the foundation of its People's Army and in North Korea, and they celebrated it by conducting a live fire drill as our nuclear-powered submarine entered the port of South Korea. You know, North Korea is very defiant, insisting that they are combat ready to sink a U.S. aircraft carrier with a single strike.
Would we use that kind of threat to be a puppet for the New World elite, who we have said many times want another war?
Well, that's a great question. The answer is yes.
For the money.
There are many situations that the globalists could use as an excuse, so this could be one of them. Or even do a false flag and blame it on North Korea, because their growing nuclear and missile threat is perhaps the most serious security challenge confronting our new president right now, especially since Kim Jong-un has recently carried out a series of ballistic missile tests, even in defiance of the United Nations sanctions. So when the globalists are ready, they won't have to look far to ignite one.
Nope. North Korea has threatened us many times before.
Yes, they have, since the Korean War, but it's been in order to negotiate, usually for more money and with less sanctions, and it usually works. But previously, the timing was off for a war. But it could be right at this time in 2017 under the Trump administration, and then they can blame the war on the Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
But if North Korea is just making idle threats, they might be somewhat surprised, for we are standing up tall and adding some pretty significant muscle into the relationship. President Trump has vowed to prevent North Korea from being able to hit the United States with a nuclear missile and has said all options are on the table,
including a military strike.
Yes, indeed. And the most important thing for Christians to do right now is to stay grounded in His Word, always being ready to have an answer to the unsaved that have questions that need a correct answer. And, you know, sometimes prophecy, as it was in my case, has to come before the giving of the gospel, sort of a prelude to wake people up, to till the soil, and then tell them how they can escape the horribleness of what is surely 100% coming. Bible prophecy says so, and there are many signs coming to fruition, including the Daniel 9:27 covenant to be signed between the man of perdition, along with many others, and Daniel's people being Israel. That's the number one sign, actually. You know, meetings are going on right now, but not openly talked about to bring about some sort of compromise. Maybe even this year it could happen. And we know this man of sin will come from the same people, as I've said many times, who destroyed the temple in 70 AD. And that was Rome. Jesus predicted its destruction 40 years earlier in Matthew 24. Besides the Antichrist being from Rome, we are certain another temple will be built because of a Revelation 11 and inferred by Daniel chapter 9, chapter 12, Matthew 24. But 2 Thessalonians 2:4 is something we should look at together. And that's what I want to do tonight. But let's read it closely from verse 1 and pay particular attention of the context. And that begins right at verse 1. The context is really important. It says, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him." So what is the context? The coming of Jesus to gather us to Him. That's the rapture. Now he goes on to say, "We ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come or the day of the Lord had come." So obviously they were being taken in by some false teachers. Boy, that confirms the spirit of Antichrist was around even way back then. Paul goes on to say, "Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first." But let me just say what that day means. That day is an idiom, and there are many idioms that you really need to learn. But it's an idiom for the day of the Lord that begins at the rapture and goes till the end of the millennial kingdom. 1,000 years is that seventh day, the day of completion, you know, that Sabbath rest for us. And then he said, "and will not come unless the falling away comes first." Okay, now this is a one I gotta hesitate on and tell you about. Some good Greek scholars like Kenneth Wiest and Daniel Davey and Tommy Ice have said this certainly means departure. Instead of falling away, departure would have been a lot better word. However, is it a departure from the faith, which we know is prophesied in Scripture, and we know is happening? Or this time, because of the context, is it, you know, it's saying it's concerning the coming of our Lord and our gathering together to meet Him. So, in this setting, could this mean a departure from the earth? Well, the answer is yes. And even some Bible footnotes, as in the Amplified Version for 2 Thessalonians 2, it suggests that this could be the meaning. And another point is the much earlier Bibles like Wycliffe and Tyndale and others use the word departure. Again, especially because of the context and the definite Greek article before the noun. Now that's a little Greek for you, I know. But these guys are specialists, so they know what they're talking about. So let me just read that again, and then I'll go into the last section here. He said, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the departure comes first." He goes on and says, "And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Now, this speaks volumes to me because it clearly shows that the Antichrist wants the temple built so he can sit in it and require all, including the Israelites, to worship him just like they did in the Old Testament. He wants to be God. So is it strange, since we know this man of perdition comes from the area called Rome, that most all of the popes have desired to control Jerusalem? Remember the Crusades? Remember Pope Urban? Easy to do your homework on that. But Pope Francis has already been given a section of it, City of David, and that's real close to the Temple Mount, which some suspect they've already been promised. The Vatican has been promised the Temple Mount too. Some suspect that's already in the making. In the meantime, Pope Francis has openly endorsed a Palestinian two-state solution and has allowed them to build its embassy, hailing its Palestinian flag, in Vatican City. Why? Because it undermines Israel's control and diminishes Israel's grip on Jerusalem and its holy sites. The Vatican is happy to let the Palestinians do the dirty work and provides ideal cover for its own ambitions to gain control of Jerusalem. Later then, since Mahmoud Abbas is very beholden to Pope Francis, he will make some kind of deal in the first half of the tribulation and turn it over to the Vatican. You know, their Catholic dogma states that the Holy City is its universal headquarters. So bottom line is Israel's enemies will get that temple built as part of that covenant on a universal temple, the Temple Mount, that the Antichrist will sit in and declare he's God. So when we get excited about the temple being built, this is not Jesus' temple yet. It's Satan's temple. That's how we know for sure it's going to happen. And we're going to continue in 2 Thessalonians next week. But first, let me ask you, do you know your Savior who has paid your debt for sin? Or do you want to pay it yourself? It's your choice who pays. Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart saying, "Why won't you accept my free gift to you?" It's given in agape love of the highest kind. And you know, it's perplexing to me why everyone doesn't grab hold of it. Let me leave you with the ironic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you shalom, peace. Till then, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem and your president, for those who love her shall prosper. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.